Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you, broadcasting from my basement out here in the eastern plains of Colorado, a safe distance from the demise of Western civilization. And we are grappling with the collapse of a culture on the program. That's right. Somehow, folks, we had got from My Grandfather's Clock Was Too Large for the Shelf, a number one song back in the 1880s, to Eminem's Rape Rap. We're getting from My Grandfather's Clock to My Mother Is a Female Dog, from Bach down to Eminem's Rape Rap. How do we get to this point? And we ask the question all the time. How does it happen? How do we ever adopt a culture as bad as the one that we have received? Well, the art forms have to break down. And granted, some people get very, very good at lousy art forms. I mean, somebody could get really, really good at making sculpted busts of Elvis out of dog manure. Not the best form in the world, okay? Not the best form in the world, but some people can get very, very, very good at sculpting dog manure. It is possible. And unfortunately, some of these forms, once they have been sculpted as nicely as they've been sculpted, they wind up in the Church of Jesus Christ. That's right. A lot of churches can sort of like the bad art forms. They bring them in, and they think that somehow they can adapt them to their worldview. It doesn't really work all that well. Now, Ken Myers has a great book out called All of God's Children in Blue Suede Shoes, Christians and Pop Culture. And Ken Myers speaks of three forms of art: high art, pop art, and folk art. And when it comes down to it, folks, art always has some allegiance. Art always belies your allegiances. Pop art demonstrates allegiance to the megastar system. Allegiance is to whatever happens to be popular at the top 40 formats. Whereas folk art demonstrates allegiances to fathers and grandfathers, and that's what impels the artists, the musicians, to do their music. Now, high art demonstrates allegiances to fathers and grandfathers over thousands of years. Now, pop art is a relatively modern creation. It basically took off in the 1930s and 40s, and now pop art is just about everywhere. Pop art is individualistic. Usually you don't listen to pop art in community. You don't bring your whole family together and say, hey, let's enjoy some pop art together. You pretty much have to be alone. You have to have your iPod or the All About Me pod going if you're going to enjoy your little self-centered existentialistic pop art experience. Pop art is also disposable. It's here today, gone tomorrow. It sold 100 million copies back in the 1970s, and by 2010 you can get it at a garage sale for 10 cents. It's of no real value. It's just garbage. It's like a McDonald's wrapper. It was good enough to wrap a hamburger for about 10 minutes, and then you throw it away. That's pop art for you. Pop art is also incapable of being passed on from generation to generation. This is my major beef with pop art. It's the old 50-year-old woman that still likes Elvis Presley and brings out the old Elvis LPs from time to time. It's the old 50-year hippies that still listen to Janis Joplin. Elvis was cool to the rebelling 16-year-old teeny bopping girls in 1955. The Beatles were cool to the rebelling 16-year-old hippie kids in 1968. And Eminem is cool to the sagging pants 16-year-old lost boys of the 2000s. You see, Almanza Wilder, back in the 1870s, 1880s, when he was raised in New York State, Almanza Wilder, a little farmer boy, he was not plugged into Elvis or the Beatles or Eminem. He didn't have any pop art. He sat around the living room listening to his father playing the fiddle, and they sang songs together around the fireplace, and they engaged in folk culture and family culture for thousands and thousands and thousands of years until Elvis showed up. Folks, pop art is relatively new, and you don't pass it on to the next generation. You rarely, rarely, rarely find a family with a generational vision passing on the Beatles' generational vision or an Elvis music genre generational vision. Why is that? Well, it's because the music was not made for a generational vision. Number one, what kind of a grandparent would want to pass on the Elvis genre? I mean, back in the 1950s, it was supposed to be for those teens who thought it was cool rebelling against the old fogey music of their mothers and fathers. Chuck Berry put it best when he said, "Hail, hail, rock and roll, deliver me from the days of old." It's constant rebellion, revolution against your parents. That's the whole concept. Also, what kid would want to take on the generational heritage of Elvis? I mean, he's too busy listening to Eminem. He's listening to the new stuff. He's listening to the new rap, the new forms. He didn't want the old forms. So, of course, they're not going to pass it on from generation to generation because the music, the pop music, is not made to pass on from generation to generation. It's not made for that. That's why churches are not made up of children and parents and grandparents and great-grandparents in the same pews. It's not going to happen in the next 20, 30, 40 years in the vast, vast, vast majority of Christian churches around America because there is no generational heritage. There is none. The children will leave their parents' church, and they will leave the faith because they will not retain their parents' heritage and culture. That's just the way it works. The art forms are incapable of maintaining the generational heritage from generation to generation because that's not why they were made. You know how you can tell if you've got folk art or high art versus the pop art? Here's how you can tell. Whole families will show up at the concerts. That's right. It's a really simple task. Leave the whole family there. Go to the concert and ask yourself, is the whole family there? Is the whole family enjoying the concert from 3-year-old Joey to 90-year-old Grandpa John? Are they all there? Are they all at the concert and are they enjoying the concert together? If they're not, you have generational severance. Massive generational severance. You've got pop art ruling your cultural setting. Well, folks, there is a folk genre sweeping the country right now, but only a very small segment of the country is connecting, but it's growing like crazy. It's called Gospel Grass. I've entered the 2-day events, and guess what? There's 3-year-old Joey and 90-year-old Grandpa John, and everybody between, the whole family is there enjoying the concert. Gospel Grass is next on Generations Running Pop Culture Today. On the Generations Radio broadcast, friends, and this is Kevin Swanson talking about family-friendly music, family-friendly culture. We've got to find some ways to network the generations back into our music forms, and one of the best ways to do it is something I have seen myself with my own eyes at the Gospel Grass concerts around the country. We have one here in Calhoun, Colorado, coming up in June, and to talk about that is Susie Solomon. She's with Gospel Grass. Susie, welcome to the Generations broadcast.
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
You betcha. And Susie, this is a wonderful, wonderful phenomena that really is growing, something called Gospel Grass. Why don't you describe it for just a moment? What is Gospel Grass?
Well, we just sort of coined that term about 11 years ago. It is acoustic and bluegrass gospel music. Mm. There wasn't a lot of it out here in the West. Now, in the South and the East, yes, there is. But even back there's not a lot of families and children playing, and we just wanted to start a festival, and we started with one overnight camp out, which was very brief, and that's grown into a 4-day camp out with people coming from all over the United States.
And there are bands all over the place that do this. I was surprised when I started clicking on your site, gospelgrass.com. I mean, I think there were something like 22 bands in Colorado alone.
There's a lot of bands. There's a lot, and there's certainly all over the place, but they are definitely growing.
Yeah.
Because one family hears one and says, I think we could do that, and that just spawns another one. It's great.
And what's happening is you're seeing a wonderful integration of the family again. It seems like families have been so segregated and disintegrated over the years. It turns out, you know, we can bring families back together in this thing called music.
That's the reason we do it.
Yeah.
That's really the reason I, with my late husband and my two sons, we together, and I would never trade that for anything. And that's really what I want to share with these families, that, yeah, we know it's not forever. Kids grow up and leave, but while you have them there, it is the most wonderful thing to get your family together.
Yeah. What kind of feeling do you get when you see all these bands and you have, I think, at least 100 bands sometimes come through? What kind of feeling do you get as you see all these families performing together and then all the families coming out and enjoying the concerts?
It's pretty amazing. I just feel completely, completely overwhelmed and blessed, to tell you the truth, because it's so much fun to see them. and to see what's going on and to see it keep growing.
Yeah, yeah. About how many bands are you expecting in June here in Callahan?
Actually, on the stage, we're going to have two main stages. There will probably only be, I'd say, about 25 this year. They come from 8 states. But we do have what we're calling a showcase stage. You know, I just can't have everybody on the main stage.
Yeah.
But we always encourage new bands and beginners, and we have a showcase so that they can play some songs and, you know, have a place to perform too.
You know, this is not the first time in history where people got together in the, for a barn dance or the community came together. People have been doing this in folk organizations and folk culture for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. It's just, it's been a little while since we've seen this.
Well, it has. And, you know, the thing that, too, that is very different and very unique, because I have searched the web and been to some other places, the difference of ours is that it's all free. Because we're able to make this free because the other families love it so much they want to share their music. So we don't have headliners. We have excellent bands. But everybody can come and just enjoy the time together. It's like a big family camp. And I think you were there, Kevin, last year. Did you happen to see the barn dance?
I was there. I think I missed the barn dance, but what happens there?
Well, the kids are the ones, it's all ages. I call it, we get all the instrumentalists that we can to come play. We usually have a band of 10 to 15, and we have a great big space, and you do not have to have any experience, and it can be anybody from seniors down to three-year-olds, but they love it so much that they've asked me this year, can we do it Thursday and Friday? And I said, well, okay. But that's the reason. It's family-friendly fun. Moms are dancing with their sons. And, you know, we're just talking the old-time square dances.
Yeah.
And, no, they just haven't seen it before.
Yeah. I mean, in the midst of this MTV generation and the iPod and the individualistic forms of art forms and the breakdown of morality in music, now you've got something that's pretty wholesome. I mean, hey, I think families everywhere are looking for something good, something wholesome, some really decent entertainment. And you're not afraid to shy away from the gospel itself. I mean, you call it gospel grass. You're certainly going to include references to our Lord Jesus and God and the worship of our Lord in the music.
It's all gospel music. I tell the bands that if they want to put in some instrumentals, that's fine, because that's in the genre, and we like to hear that, you know, the hot-picking kids that are excellent musicians. But I don't want really anything but gospel. I say if you do something else, if you do an extra throw in a different tune, make it family-friendly.
Yeah.
We have no references to drugs, drinking, cheating, songs, nothing.
Yeah.
And everybody's fine with that.
Yep, yep. It turns out this is the kind of music that glorifies God, and at the same time, we can enjoy this kind of stuff. What should folks do to connect or to register for the Gospel Grass coming up in Callahan, Colorado? You've also got a few other events in Texas, I think out in Mineral Wells, Texas, on November 13th of this year. But how do they sign up for these things?
Well, there's really not a sign-up.
Okay. I mean,
if you need any more information or want to talk to me, go to gospelgrass.com. You'll see my phone number, my email. You know, you do have to sign up for the camping, but that's with the El Paso County Fairgrounds, not with me. You call the El Paso County Fairgrounds to make reservations, and there's only one hotel in town. You need to call that hotel, but otherwise, just go to the website. Or just show up, because it's all free. You can come and go, or however they like to do.
It's a family-friendly hoedown coming at June 24th to the 27th at Callahan, Colorado, folks. Sign up, or you don't need to sign up again. You can check out for more information at gospelgrass.com. And thanks again, Susie, for joining us on Generations. We appreciate the vision, and we just want to bless you for what you've been doing.
All right. Hope you can come out again this year.
You bet. And we'll be back in just a moment, friends. Stay with us.
Foundations of Our Fathers is a theme for the annual Christian Family Conference coming to the Denver Merchandise Mart June 17th through the 19th. Join hundreds of Christian families from across Colorado and attend a variety of challenging and encouraging seminars. Keynote speakers include Dr. Vody Bauckham and Kevin Swanson. Join us on Thursday, June 17th for a special all-day biblical family seminar. Visit the exhibit hall with curriculum from over 200 vendors, including youth entrepreneurs. It all happens at the Christian Family Conference, June 17 to 19, at the Denver Merchandise Mart, presented by Christian Home Educators of Colorado. Register today. Hurry and save on pre-conference pricing. For more information and to register, go online to chec.org. That is check.org.
Now we're going to go to the phone lines and talk to one of my favorites, the gospel bluegrass bands out there, and that is the Wintons. They showed up at our economics conference in March out here in Denver, Colorado area, and I was able to catch them on the road right now. Randy Winton is out in Omaha, Nebraska at a rest stop. Randy, welcome to the radio program called Generations.
Thanks, Kevin. It's good to be here.
Randy, you've got a great little band you formed with your sons a number of years ago. How did it all begin?
Well, it was probably about 4 years ago. We started playing together at home, and one day we decided that maybe someone would like to hear us. So we went and called a retirement home in our local area in Redding, California, which is the Northern California area, and volunteered to come play. And we played there a few times, and then one of their residents. People there called another retirement home, and it kind of escalated into playing in a few of the retirement homes. And then our name just kind of got around the community, and we got to play more and more. And we were playing for free, just trying to get our name out, but we didn't have aspirations to become a full-time gospel bluegrass band. And it just kind of escalated, and the Lord opened just a lot of doors for us. And we played more and more, and then eventually a bluegrass festival called us, and we actually got paid for that. We were shocked that someone was paid to figure out. And then after that, we got to play at the Father-Son Retreat in Colorado, put on by Chuck and Vision Forum. And it just kind of escalated and snowballed from there. And, of course, we've had to promote ourselves and book our own concerts. But now we're on a six-month tour around the country, and we're having just a great time doing this.
Now, you have an appreciation for excellence in your music. That's obvious to me. You guys really work at it. No slouches here when it comes to getting down and playing those instruments. Your sons are very talented. I mean, you are too, but I'm just saying, your sons, these are young men, and they do a very good job.
Yeah, I could never make it as a single. We know that it hinges on all three of us, but my sons, they really work very hard at playing, and both of them are here, actually, with us, but they have been playing for 3 to 4 years, depending on the instrument, and have really, really, really worked very hard. I mean, the Lord has gifted them with some great talent, but they do work hard. Several hours a day they're practicing.
One of your sons won an award in the state of California as well.
Yeah, actually both of them. I'll let Gracie tell you about that award.
Okay. I've got to brag on myself here, I guess.
Okay, go for it.
In March every year in Oroville, California, they hold the California State Taking Championship. And we went there, and I entered the open division, which is basically the adult division, and I was awarded the first place championship. So.
And that was in the state of California.
Yes, it is.
You like bluegrass? You like the genre?
I love the genre.
Why is that?
Just because of, I don't know, it's hard to explain. The gospel music really is a big portion of it, because it just is all pointing to the Lord and the roots of ancestry in many ways, looking back on what has happened in the past, and people singing about it. It started in the Appalachians, the Appalachian Mountains in the early 30s and 40s, and people just picked up on it because it had such a great message, and so it's a great genre to play. We really enjoy it.
Well, it's one of the few genres that could be called American folk. In other words, this is not pop. It is folk music. It is a music that honors fathers and grandfathers. And you're effectively doing the same thing when you play with your own father.
Yeah, we are. We wouldn't play with anybody else. We wouldn't want to go tour with another band ever if we were even asked. We just really feel like the Lord has us doing it with our father.
Mm-hmm. So as you play the music, do you sense an identity with your fathers, your grandfathers, the folk music of the nation, and effectively the faith of the nation?
Yeah, I would definitely say that.
Where are you headed from here?
We're going to, let's see, Bettendorf, Iowa. We'll be there tomorrow playing a concert, and then on Saturday we head to Peoria, Illinois,
mm-hmm.
for about a week playing a concert there.
All right, so Iowa, Illinois, and I think your father said Branson, Missouri as well?
Yeah, we're doing Branson.
Wonderful. Well, what you're doing is you're bringing a form of folk music and gospel music around the nation. Are people receiving it? I mean, are you finding audiences that like it? Cody, are you finding audiences responding well to your music?
I think that would be true. It was amazing the Lord having us start playing bluegrass in California, because in that state, bluegrass is sort of more of a novelty out there. So it really finds a niche. The interesting thing is California has actually the biggest bluegrass association in the United States.
Hmm.
So I think the Lord really orchestrated it for us to be able to start playing there, where people responded to it as sort of like a newer, unknown genre to them, instead of more back east in like Kentucky and Tennessee, where bluegrass is one of the staple music genres out there. So
my guess is you're not selling as many albums as Eminem, Katy Perry, or even Michael W. Smith at this point. At this point, the genre is not that popular.
Yeah, that's probably true, but we probably give more CDs away.
Yeah, okay.
And it's not because, it's interesting, it's not because people won't buy them.
Okay.
I mean, we sell a few CDs, but we have the opportunity as a family to minister the gospel to the lost people, but also to encourage the body of Christ and what it is to minister as a family. And we have so many fathers and mothers, but mostly fathers come and talk with me after concerts at the CD table, and they're asking questions about what it's like to have a relationship with sons. And so it just opens doors, and so many times, Kevin, I'm just grabbing a CD from the table and handing it to them and saying, I want you to have this as a gift from us. And to pray for them and to think about them in the future and down the road and be praying for those families. It's wide open for fathers to hear about father and son relationships. And so we are so pleased that we get that opportunity.
And what you really want with your music, as I want with my radio program, I think anybody out there who is a Christian man or woman who is trying to influence a culture, what you really want is to edify people, bring them closer to God, and glorify God in the process. I mean, this is the end result of our efforts, and we hope and pray that happens.
Yeah, totally agree with that. We hope it's entertaining. I mean, we want people to be completely entertained in that hour show. But more than anything, we want them to hear about Jesus Christ. We want it to be evident in the music, in the words they hear, but also in our lives. We want, before we get on the stage, the people we're in contact with, and then all the audience after the concerts, we want them to hear about the Lord and to see the Lord in our lives. And if that doesn't ring true, then we could sell 500 CDs at a concert, but we would feel like we failed if we did not do that.
A point I made at the beginning of this show was that if you want to know, if you've got a form of music that will integrate the generations, just go to the concert and take a look at the audience. If you've got the entire family there, I mean, everybody from the 3-year-old Joey to 90-year-old Grandpa John, then you have succeeded in integrating the generations in that musical genre. How successful do you think you are in that task?
Well, yeah, you know, that's interesting, because we talk a lot in our home about the audience, you know, who came,
yeah,
what kind of people have come. And you're right, it is the entire age bracket. We probably draw more older people, and when I say older, I mean, I'm 46, so 50 is young, but about
50-plus are the largest group, but we have children. We did a concert at a Christian camp a couple weeks ago, and a lot of the families had our CD, and when we were singing a few of our songs from the CD, they were singing as loud as we were out in the audience. The children were. And so we were loving that because we're seeing this multi-generational thing happening in front of our eyes in our concerts.
Well, that's exactly, I think, what we're after today, where you've got very, very few musical genres that are capable of drawing in the generations and reintegrating the generations. Certainly, pop music does not intend to do that kind of thing. But hopefully, we're able to do that with this present system. Randy, we're just about out of time, but what's the website that folks can go to get your materials?
They can check us out at thewintonbluegrass.com.
WintonsBluegrass.com on the web, my friends. Check it out. Randy Winton and his sons are traveling the country again. You can see them in Iowa, Peoria, Illinois, Branson, Missouri. I'm sure you've got many more opportunities out there, and folks can hopefully get a chance to see you. Personally, I think you're one of the best, if not the best, gospel bluegrass bands I have ever seen. The way you work with your sons is fantastic, Randy. We're going to end with a sample from your CD, but I want to thank you for joining us today, Randy Winton, on the Generations Radio broadcast.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. Thank you very much, sir. Goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Wintons, as we wrap up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast, you can interact with the show by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
Get right, get left when he calls his children home.